Hi everyone, it's Josh here. I just wanted to let you know that Lovecraft Esque, the storytelling card game of creeping cosmic horror, is heading for a second edition crowdfunding on Backerkit in October. It's a much improved version of an already great game. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will have heard us playing it, and if you haven't, I recommend you go and check those episodes out. And if you would like to get in on the new edition, there is a link in the show notes, which you can use to sign up for notifications when the campaign launches. Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him, and I will be GMing the game tonight. And with me, I have four other role players, and they are
Becky Annison, that's me. I'll be playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat. That's the Ares playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
Ed Tomlinson playing Dr. Tobias Roy, the Scorpio playbook. Thought I'd keep it in sequence like you did. Our pronouns are he and him.
Nick Bate, Commander Sam Buckley? Sam? I was going to say Samantha Buckley. It's definitely not Samantha Buckley. Commander Sam Buckley, Captain of the Hecate, Taurus playbook, he, him.
Sue Elliott, Gemini playbook. I'll be playing Sonia Vega, and our pronouns are she and her.
And tonight we're going to be playing Last Fleet. Let's do it.
So just to clarify, I am, without any worries from the Admiral, going to take a full box of Korak samples back to the Hecate. Is that correct?
I believe that's what we agreed, yes.
Excellent.
There's no one on the Hecate to stop you either at the moment, I don't think, unless, you know, Vega and Hellcat want to.
I also would like to tap into the Admiral's clout and give myself a bit more movement around the ship in the absence of Sam. Is that a possibility? Do you want me to roll manipulation?
Around the Hecate?
Yeah. Maybe I should be the cag. I couldn't be bothered with all the paperwork. Sounds awful.
There's a lot more paperwork in this job than I expected.
All right, I just want it clear that I don't want any restraints from my current arrangements that I've had with Sam with any new jumps upstarting temporary management.
100% that cag is one of the Koraks. Catan. Just feel it in my bones. If anyone's going to turn out to be a Korak's agent, it would be him.
I sort of don't want to meet the cag just to retain that paranoia. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
It just gives you a big wink.
Know what I mean?
Is there a special handshake for you these days?
It involves threads of fungus matter.
Yeah, your hands stay like 2 feet apart and just little mushrooms come out.
Yeah, you do a high five and then there's like a big stretchy mozzarella string thing you do.
Yeah.
Like.
That's perfect.
Yum.
I'm just trying to figure out whether you need to. It doesn't feel to me like you probably need to pull strings to get to move around the Hecate.
Okay, all right.
Unless you're trying to get somewhere, like, real difficult. Is it just that you want to be able to go to the HQ area? Because you've already been to the HQ area, so I don't know what extra...
That's true, I did just stroll in there, didn't I? I mean, obviously I want to go and see Sam, and there were restrictions placed on civilians doing that. So that, for example.
I don't want to make you, unless you're going to go and shiv him up while he sleeps, which I assume you won't do that.
No, I'll just place one of these lovely little ear slugs in his ear and everything will be fine.
Yeah. Everyone you're in a scene with from now on could later turn out to be a Korax.
Does anyone remember if my plan was to have Marines assigned to Dr. Roy's lab?
Yes.
Now, I can't remember if that order got issued.
I think that did.
I don't see how it could have done, because I think
yeah.
you had your conversation with the three of you on the shuttle back, and then I said to you, and where do you go when you get back? And you went, I think I'll go to the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a conversation with Enrique, and then he got blowed up. So I don't think it can have been.
Yeah. Assigned Marines was like, it was at the top of your to-do list on your desk, you know, on the bridge. And you were just about to go, right.
There was definitely a conversation in my ready room, though.
There was. But the guy who was in your ready room has just been arrested, so.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, I suspect even if the order had been given, the Marines wouldn't have been instructed to keep Dr. Roy out of his lab.
No.
Because that wasn't the plan there. The plan there was just to ensure that nothing got out of Dr. Roy's lab. In any case, it hasn't gone through.
And anyway, if he wants to get something out of his lab, he probably will do.
Well, yeah.
So, Dr. Roy, you wanted to have a conversation with Vega, I believe?
Yeah, so I travel back and I try and locate Vega. Don't tell me you're in Spanners.
I don't know. No, I don't think I'd be in Spanners.
You've got a job to do, right, Vega?
I do have a job to do. I'm trying to work out how I would do my job. I need to do some shifty stuff.
Shifty stuff. Well, come and meet me. I've got loads of really good suggestions.
Unless you're trying to hide from Dr. Roy, I think just he finds you, right? So where would he find you?
Maybe in my quarters, but that feels like a slightly uninspired answer.
You had quarters in the Hecate, or did you have a quarters in the Agamemnon?
In the Hecate, I think. That's where I'm kind of based. Yeah.
Are you going somewhere to think?
Yes, I think I am formulating a plan.
So, in that case...
Literally. In and out of character.
Same.
Sam, since you're not currently available to play your character, perhaps you could tell us where is a great place to go on the ship if you want to think.
Spanners.
Have they got one of those glass domes that you can go and stare and look at the stars?
Yeah, I don't think it does. I think the Hecate has... So it's got a briefing room where the pilots meet, which is kind of their space, right? So it's not one that I mean, even the captain is a little circumspect about going into that space. There is an equivalent space that's laid out the same that is intended for transport pilots and routine shipping, not the combat pilots, so that they're not all up in each other's business. But at the moment, there's no such thing as a non-combat pilot. And so I think that space is quietly mothballed at the moment. And I think it's like a little theater, like a little tiered theater, so that the pilots can sit in seats and face the CAG or whoever it is giving mission briefings. So like a dark, disused equivalent to the pilots' space.
Almost like a little lecture theater or something.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Super.
That sounds delightful. So Sonia is in there with her head down. In her notebook, she's probably got a kind of shorthand that she uses to just for the sake of a bit of privacy and anonymity, and she's just writing things in circles and drawing lines and writing something else in a circle somewhere else and working out who she might need to talk to, what records there might be, and things like that. Not really paying attention to her surroundings.
Okay. Roy steps through a door, sees you writing, saying, writing an article or coming up with a master plan?
Sonia snaps her notebook shut and just snaps her head round at Dr. Roy. I don't think I want to talk to you right now, Doctor.
Don't you have an article to write?
I'm busy on other things. What do you want? And she's stood up out of her chair at this point.
So you're assuming I've come from behind you, I guess, right? Okay, so I descend down the stairs and sit on the other side of the aisle from where you were, like a few seats back. Mm-hmm. And I place the case of Korak samples on the chair. Like I've literally got off the shuttle and come and found you, like before doing anything else. I say, I was just checking on your injury. And seeing how it's healing.
Well, as you can see, various little cuts and scrapes that will, I'm sure, heal up in a couple of days. But I'm not sure if that's what you mean.
What do you think I mean?
What did you do to me?
I did what was necessary to keep you alive, Vega. We'll see that in the long run.
I want you to tell me exactly what you did to my arm.
Oh, I didn't do anything. That's why I'm here. To warn you.
Warn me or threaten me?
Threaten you with what?
Yes, let's call Dr. Tobias Roy on his shit.
What? It's a bit harsh.
So what is it you're calling him on here?
Oh, you're a massive prick.
I want him to... Yeah, I do. I want him to drop his sense of superiority and just tell me what exactly he means, how he's healed my arm, what he's threatening me with.
Okay, so what do you say to drive that home?
Yeah, I've been around a lot of people like you, Doctor, who think that they're so much better than everyone else, and I have to smile and make them feel really special. That's been my job for years now, and I'm really tired. And now you've done something to me, personally. Do you even know how violating that is? It stops now. You tell me now exactly what did you do to my arm? What did you allow to happen to my arm? In plain English, tell me what is going on.
Nice.
I rolled a 4.
Oh no.
That's so bad. I can't even remedy that.
It's a lot of pressure.
I can't do anything. What am I rolling with? Hang on. Oh, so I got a 5. So I could max out my pressure.
Do it. Do it.
Kind of can could I even make do that? Sense, I guess.
Yes, I can. Do it. I mean, what you're about to tell me might break my brain, I guess.
Just bear in mind that call someone on their shit is a relatively weak move. If you get it to 7 to 9, he's still got tons of options to basically fob you off, so...
Who says I'm going to fob you off anyway? Get a word in edgeways. Might tell you what's going on.
All right, let's... I will let the roll stand.
All right, well, I think... I am just going to... I think in that moment you realise how powerless you are and you can mark pressure.
Okay. I think maybe towards the end of my speech my voice just quivers a little bit as if it's about to break, and that kind of undermines all the cool stuff I just said.
Nice.
Roy says, listen, Sonia, there is a reason why I came to see you as soon as I got off the Agamemnon and onto the Hecate. You are a victim of circumstance like I am. Perhaps if we work together, we may be able to save this ship and the fleet. If you will allow me to check your hand, then I will explain.
I think my hand twitches before I even answer.
No, not that one, the other one. The good evil
third
one.
Hand, my third hand in my pocket.
Comedy hand. I may tell you things that you may not want to hear at this point. And I too feel at times out of control. But this is our opportunity to regain control of the situation.
You're asking me to trust you on the basis of what your word?
What else do I have to give you? What evidence do you need?
It's not evidence that I'm looking for, it's reassurance. I want my safety guaranteed.
Oh, I have no doubt that your safety is guaranteed. You stand in a very privileged position, Ms. Vega.
God, I really wish Vega had brought... is just constantly armed at this point. That'd be great.
What, you're going to shoot me? Harsh.
I'd just like to have it as an option.
Stab me with a pencil.
I think the only person who's seen firing a gun is Vega.
I think Vega's curiosity is just, it's too on fire to ignore at this point, I think. And she just finds herself kind of walking forward towards the doctor. And she holds out her hand to the doctor.
Okay, I'm going to be close enough to touch her. Do I trigger my move at this point, Josh? Just to mess with your mind.
Nah. That's your Cylon detector right there.
Yeah, I am my own Cylon detector, yeah.
Just, like, walk up to someone and, like, touch them, and if your move goes off, then you know.
Okay. I look momentarily disappointed, and then I say, take a seat. I'll explain. But you must promise not to overreact.
I never overreact, Doctor.
Because if you do, this fleet is on a knife's edge.
You said this is something that can save us, right?
Potentially.
Fine.
You and I are both infected with Korax. We are Korax hybrids, if you will. This gives us a unique position in this conflict.
You infected me with Korax.
I didn't. The Korax did.
And how did the Korax get access to me, Doctor?
Well, they were infecting the ship. You were there with me. You don't think this is all under my control? I've merely found this out myself over the last few weeks.
They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us, Doctor. Are you serious? What, my arm is Korax, is that what you're saying?
Well, that is what I saw with my own eyes when the Korax repaired it. So we're both in a bit of a conundrum at this point. You think I willingly became a hybrid?
Wait. Am I a Korax?
Well,
you said you saw my arm repaired. What does that mean?
It means a part of you is potentially Korax.
Doctor, I don't think you know as much as you want me to think.
I would like to use my manipulation move at this point.
Lighting.
Oh my goodness.
The best move. I can't remember how it works.
To see if I can pull it off, basically. Just sort of convince you that we're like in it together and, you know, the only way out is for you to help me out and blah, blah, blah. Is that fair?
So how's it work?
It says, when you reach out by playing on someone's emotions or sympathies, which I think I have, roll smooth instead of warm. If you do, on a hit, you can demand that they do something for you, and they only get the usual pressure reduction if they do it.
So this is a reach out move.
It's effectively a reach out move, but you only get the reduction in pressure. So like I'm pushing your buttons here, like to say we're in it, like I'm throwing you a curveball emotionally to try and help for you to get on board with my plan.
So the trigger for reach out is still the same. You need to share a significant doubt or fear, hope or dream, failure or regret, or share your feelings about them to make it trigger. And furthermore, she has to respond positively.
Does it work then if it's manipulation?
Well, the idea is that you share your feelings in it. To remind me, say the wording again. It's
went by playing on someone's emotions or sympathies.
So it's, yeah. So the kind of thing you might do is share a fear or regret in it by portraying yourself in the best possible light. You know, making them sympathetic to you. That kind of thing.
Okay. Okay. Let's see if we can go a little bit further.
It's a bit tricky because she's already hostile to you. Reaching out is quite hard when someone's already hostile to you. Because you have to get them to respond positively.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I was hoping to take you off the, put you on the back foot and use manipulation to push on that side of things. But I step back and I sit down and I say, look, you don't have to like what I've done. We all do things in the moment that we regret. It seemed like the right thing to do. I'm as out of my depth in this situation as anyone else. You were bleeding out. Now, I know this puts you and I in a terrible situation, but I may have a plan to save the fleet. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You don't have to like me, you just have to work with me. Until we're out of this situation. What I do know is that you are not fully Korax. You are still very much human. And we have time to correct the mistake that I made, if you'll let me.
This is reversible.
We can but try.
Doctor, I feel like you've told me everything and nothing at the same time. But I know what I saw. I know I have no proof, but I know that I lost my arm in that room. This arm that's attached to me now, completely healthy, completely unharmed. And yours is the only explanation that comes close to making sense. And now I'm in a position where if anyone finds out, I'm going to die. They're going to put me in that airlock. So I guess I don't have a choice, do I?
You and I both.
Sonia slumps back down into the chair and just sort of stares straight ahead.
Roy stands up, thinks about putting a hand on your shoulder briefly for a moment, and then disappears out of the door. Do I need to roll manipulation, or?
I mean, I don't think you pulled off a reach out there. You tried your best.
It's hard with manipulation because it's almost like they're slightly unwilling. It's a sort of element of unwillingness, but just the right amount of unwillingness that the manipulation should tip them over. But
well, you've got Vega to basically agree to what you wanted. So, like,
just for the record, guys, I'm not quite sure what that is yet. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, you don't say.
Well, that was intense.
Right. It certainly was, man. Oof.
Can I do some work on my Korax detector device as an engineering move?
Yes.
That's what I'm. That is my next. While Sam is still in a coma, no one likes me. I'm going to go back to my lab and I'm going to focus on trying to finish that piece of work off.
Okay.
It's either that or go down the garden and eat some worms. So.
Yeah. I just want to have a look at that move then.
It's more about jury rigging, but I suppose I don't know whether you want to do it as a long-term project or whatever, but like I need to provide the relevant members of the crew an ability to identify Korax.
I'm confused about why Ro would want to hand over the ability to detect himself.
It's the ultimate sacrifice.
It is a bit of a puzzler. I think this project is extremely ambitious, and therefore, so you can roll it,
mm-hmm.
but on a 10 plus, I still get to choose one from the 7 to 9 list.
Well, I've got a lot of pressure to burn.
Okay.
I don't know. I suspect Roy is thinking about, like I am, like possible angles about how this might go down. And it may be that he needs to hand this off to the humans as his only legacy. Everyone has their own handheld Roy device. Right, I'm rolling then. What is it?
Sharp.
Sharp? Oh. Sure it's not smooth.
You just thought that you'd be quite sharp being...
Oh, it's an 8. So what's that? If I spend 2 pressure...
Yeah.
Which I'm going to do, because I've got loads. Plus, I just wanted to roll some dice. I haven't rolled any. It's been so much emotion and no dice. Won't cope. I completed successfully. Erase one attrition or fix a specific problem.
Yeah, so the specific problem is you don't have a Korax detector. But I get to choose something from the 7-9 list anyway, because the project's extremely ambitious, as I see it. Mm-hmm. So...
I only needed to work a couple of times to prove to people. But then I suppose I could just have a machine where I press a button and a red light goes. See?
I'm tempted to say you'll have to cannibalize a fellow Korax or yourself to make it work. But that seems maybe a bit extreme. It's a bit Frankenstein. So.
Well, I have to eat Korax.
Well, I do something to sort of pull a vital component from such a person's body.
I think that might be going a bit too far.
Well, I've got a big case of Korok samples. Can I not use that? Maybe I've got limited use until I replenish the supply.
Temporary fix. It's unstable. It's not working as well as you hoped. You need something to complete it. You'll have to cannibalize something. It's going to take a while. Those are the options. Anyone got any thoughts here? I'm going to solicit input while I'm trying to figure this out.
I mean, if it's not working as well as you'd hoped, then, I mean, a 75% reliable Korok detector is a real problem one time in four.
Perfect. It's perfect for Roy, though. Maybe he's actually added that variant in himself. Oh, it's only 75%. Doesn't really help, though, does it? It's like...
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of giving you a fail by doing that, because it's an information-based thing you're trying to build, and if it's unreliable, then it's unreliable, you know?
What about it's completely reliable, but the Korok material inside the detector decays over time, so you have to keep putting fresh stuff in? So you need a constant fresh supply of Korok, live Korok samples, in order for it to work.
Well, I know how Ed will get around that, which is that he is a live Korok sample.
That's not good enough, so because he's a human Korok hybrid, it's got to be pure.
Yeah, see? Yeah, Becky bought the human Korok hybrid story. I definitely rolled 12 with that.
Yeah, you did. I 100% bought that. I was like, oh, I didn't realise that was a thing, but I must have just been out of the room when the Admiral told him that.
Okay, well, let me get back to you on that. It's going to take a little while for you to create the detector anyway. So in a session or so's time, I'll come back to you with the details of what you've achieved. So, Loris.
Yes.
I think you are called. The alert goes off. The pilot's alert. Summoning what are they called? Rapiers into the air.
Well, I'll scramble then, because I do still have a job to do.
Cool. You and the other rapiers are out in space. There's nothing. There's no obvious reason why you would be out here. There's no Korok tundra or anything like that. And Catan's voice comes over the radio. Hellcat, there is a shuttle en route to Tycon. Your orders are to get that shuttle back to Hecate by any means necessary.
Understood, Captain. Who's on board?
Captain Alagona is on board. Or so, I believe.
Okay. And then I will hail the shuttle.
All right. I'm going to need a name.
Steve.
Steve the shuttle pilot. Steve-o.
Yeah, this is Private Rogers.
Private Rogers, this is Lieutenant Loris. You are required to stand down, turn the shuttle around, return to Hecate immediately.
Oh, you're breaking up, Lieutenant. I didn't catch that. Say again.
That won't work on me. I've been given orders to take you down if you don't return.
There's quite a long pause.
Who's on board the shuttle with you?
Negative, Lieutenant. We need to take this ship to the Tycon.
There's a quarantine on. Why are you leaving?
Sir, we have to... I think at this point Alagona comes onto the radio, probably. Hellcat, it's Alagona.
What's going on, Alagona? I've just been given orders that if you don't return to the Hecate, I'm to blow you out of the sky.
Catan's... he's on a witch hunt. My men decided to come and get me out.
I will talk to Catan. I will make sure that he doesn't do anything until Captain Buckley wakes up. I'll make sure that you have due process. But he has ordered the air group to blow you out of the sky if you don't return to Hecate. Your chances on the ship are better than they are where you are right now.
With respect, Lieutenant, I don't think you can make guarantees to me right now, can you?
I can guarantee you that I've been given orders to blow you out of the sky.
And are you going to do that?
I took out Roy's engines for less.
I think the appropriate move here is calling him on a ship. Probably.
I think it is calling him on a ship. Is it calling him on a ship? Because I don't necessarily think he's in the wrong.
No, I agree, but in effect,
you would be telling him his problem is that he's behaving very foolishly and is going to get blown up.
Okay, so what I will do is this. I will shoot a volley, a warning shot across his bows.
Yeah.
And then I will say, Alagona, get back onto the Hecate right now. I am not messing around with this. I am absolutely on a knife edge right now, and I am not prepared to cross Catan. Not out here. On the ship, I will fight for you. But we're not doing this. Not out here. Not when Buckley's in the infirmary. Is this what you think he would have wanted? You just tossing your life away on a trip to Tycon? Get back on the ship now. And I am going to roll it with my special. Because I have a special.
Shotgun diplomacy.
I have shotgun diplomacy. So I can roll with raw instead of hard, which I actually have some half decent stuff in. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Not very good at threatening people. Becky isn't anyway. 12.
She's back in the game. Times
back
two.
Back in the game. The Agon campaign is but a memory of poor dice rolling that never happened.
I think there's another lengthy pause, and Alagona says, I'm going to hold you to that, Lieutenant.
I expect you to.
Turn the ship around, he says quietly. And it does.
I get to erase the pressure for that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that your special, or is that part of the move that I've forgotten about?
It's part of the move.
It's a special move.
It's part of the special move, sorry. The special part of the special move is that I get to use raw instead of hard.
And you get to erase pressure.
And I get, if I get on a 10 plus, I get to erase pressure.
Wow, nice.
Generous game design of that one.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find more information about Last Fleet and the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget, we've got Lovecraft Desk 2nd Edition coming to crowdfunding on Backerkit very soon. And there's a link to sign up for notifications about that also in the show notes. See you next time.
That was fabulous.
Come back quick. Catan's awful.
I mean, I feel like Roy and Sam need a scene, right? I need to come and see Roy, bring him some grapes or something at some point.
You need to be in his musical dream sequence.
This is going back to the Red Dwarf thing. Do you remember when Lister gets sick and the cat brings him grapes? Yes. He says, I brought you some grapes, and he pulls out, like, just the stalks with no, no grapes on.
Yeah, that'd be me,
just imagine your character doing that.
Yeah.
Brought you a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah, maybe I have tapped into the cat a little bit with Dr. Roy. I don't know where I'm going with my stuff. I'm all at sea at the moment. Am I evil? Or is there a redemption arc possible for Dr. Roy?
Do you want to be redeemed? I think that's the real question, Ed. And only you can answer that.
We'll see when we get to the top of Mount Doom with the Ring of Power in my fingers. And then only at that point will I decide.
Do you see yourself as the Frodo in that story? Because I very much see you as someone else in that story.
What, the eagles? Saving everyone.
What's she trying to say, Precious?
Does Gollum do calisthenics? No. Although he is kind of
Gollum
lean.
Gollum is shredded.
He's pretty lean,
he's
actually.
Shredded.
Yeah, maybe he does.
I mean, he strangles a lot of stuff, doesn't he? And you need a certain amount of strength for that.
Yeah, a lot of grit.
And he's very flexible and agile.
He probably does a lot of free climbing as well.
Yeah, he definitely is a dude who does a lot of climbing.
So, conclusion, Dr. Roy is Gollum.
Gollum.
Is the eagle, possibly Gandalf.
I think Toby is Smeagol, Dr. Roy is Gollum. He says to himself, Dr. Roy, Dr. Roy.
You're being mean about my character. It's upsetting me. It's upsetting, it's hurting Dr. Roy's ego. Would even equate him to some lake, underground lake dwelling creature.
Well, he has got a secret lair.